We heard you were good at getting ponies quiet. And I said, yes, ma'am, I've ridden a pony or two. Do you think you can get horses ready to ride around lions, water buffalo, and elephant? And without missing a beat, I said, yes, ma'am, I'm your guy. Sign me up.
Welcome to the Horse Trailer Podcast. Today, we're thrilled to have not one, but two giants in the world of horsemanship, Michael and Kelsey Gaskin. Hope I pronounced that correctly. The owners of Gaskin Horsemanship. Michael and Kelsey, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us on. We really appreciate you giving us this opportunity.
Yes, thank you.
You know, you guys, you both have such rich backgrounds in the equine industry. You share a passion for horsemanship. How do your individual approaches to training and performance complement each other in your work?
A lot. I didn't realize how unbroke and unsafe some of my trick riding horses even. You know, they did great for their job and they did fantastic for me, but it was kind of cool once our worlds merged together that he was able to show me not only red flags with horses, but also making my life a little bit easier, trying to find new prospects and trying to train new horses. He just kind of cut out all the fluff with that. And it lets you, you know, figure out exactly who the horse is more quickly than what I had currently in my training program.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy coming from colt starting and really working the fundamentals and foundations of horses every single day. That's my day job, being a colt starter and making broke for giving horses for people, how a performance rider, like my wife, who is a world-class trick rider, how many prospects she would go through to find one good horse versus now every single colt that we start, she just finds the build that she wants and the color that she likes. We started from scratch and every single one say, okay, I'll be a trick riding horse. As before, she was waiting and trying to find the right personality and right. The right temperament. And now we just treat it like part of the job.
Yeah. And it just makes the expectations clear, you know, not just for the performance horses, but with every horse that we work with, it makes the expectations so clear for what we want them to be able to do. And then we just make sure that they have the education to do that. And that just partners together really well.
You guys are killing it. Michael, known as the horse guru, you've been recognized for training the untrainable. What's the first step you take when you're faced with a new horse that someone comes to you and says, yeah, you can't train this horse?
Well, so the first part is a lot of times you'll be working a clinic and you've already worked, you know, 8 or 10 problem horses. And you'll look over and you'll say, man, I'm ready for your horse. And she'll say, honey, back up the trailer. Well, in that scenario, when they have to back up the trailer to the round pin gates, is the catching process. Right. Whenever they're untrainable, but they're a little further along than that, or they're bucking or they're rearing, we have a simple mantra here that's control the head, control the horse. We get that horse backing out of our space. And once we have them where they respect our space a little bit, everything is really just getting them soft left and right. Once you can control their face, you're immediately able to control their butt. And everything that doesn't behoove your health and well-being happens in a straight line. Bucking, running, rearing, running backward, all these things, because that's where the horse is strong. If we have the ability to soften that horse up where we can keep them bent, we can move their butt, take their motor away from them, very quickly we get the high ground. Very quickly we have the ace in the hole to be able to communicate to those horses very quietly. Hey, you know, we're running the show. Don't try those things. You're not going to get away with them because I'm just going to take your butt away from you. And it makes the conversations very civil. It takes all the bronking and the dogs barking and the dust away from the conversation.
Yeah, I love it. Kelsey, as a champion trick rider, what's one piece of advice you'd give to folks looking to enhance their confidence and skill set in the saddle?
That's one thing that we get to work with a lot within our program. We have these all-inclusive retreats where people come and they spend 5 days, 6 nights with us. We have a confidence retreat where we literally go in and we work with people that have either, you know, had a bad experience with the horse, taken a bad fall and gotten hurt, or more commonly, one of the things we get is that these ladies and the people that we work with, they had a horse, they've had them for a long time, and now they've gotten to the age where they either can't ride them, they've unfortunately lost them due to old age, and now they're starting back over and getting your confidence up when you've had the same horse where everything was just, you knew what to say, you knew what to do with the horse, and they knew exactly what to do for you. And now you're trying to like bridge that communication gap. So that's one thing we do a lot with confidence in our program is early on in those steps that we take with the horses, we not only make sure that the horse is comfortable going through and passing those grade levels, we teach their owner how to use it as a self-check. Make sure that your horse is passing each of these steps before you throw your leg over. We're going to guarantee you're going to have so much better and safer of a ride if you make sure that your horse's mind is in the right place, that they're listening to you, respecting your space. And we carry that over into confidence with the saddle. As long as you, when you're in the saddle, you know that at any point you can grab the reins and disengage their hindquarters. If anything makes them uncomfortable, if they spook, if they bolt, if they try to do anything, that you know that you can shut down that movement. Once you know that, your confidence is going to skyrocket and go through the roof. So a lot of times, mostly what we have to do is just make sure, hey, here's your self-check. Here's your pre-ride checklist, step for step. If you see a red flag, fix it before you throw your leg over. And that's just going to tenfold your confidence.
Makes sense. You guys, you two travel the world teaching, giving clinics. Can you share a particularly impactful story or maybe a lesson learned from your international experiences that resonate with our listeners?
I got a call from...
This is going to be good. I can already see this one. This is going to be good.
Somebody with an English accent, and they said, we heard you were good at getting ponies quiet. And I said, yes, ma'am, I've ridden a pony or two. Do you think you could get horses ready to ride around lions, water buffalo, and elephant? And without missing a beat, I said, yes, ma'am, I'm your guy. Sign me up. I'm going to tell you a secret. I come from a little town called Poplarville, Mississippi. If you haven't heard of it, don't worry. It's not very popular. But being a redneck Southern man, I have never ridden around lions or elephant or water buffalo. But I know the way of the horse is universal. No matter what country we go to, no matter where we ride, it's the same thing. And I know that if you control the head, you control the horse, and the variables do not matter.
Right.
We're doing riot patrol. We can ride through crowds. If we're doing parade training, we can go through smoke and fire. We can shoot guns off of them, rope steers off. We do all these things that a horse will allow us to do. So the variable doesn't matter. And whenever we went over there, we just started the process and we started in the beginning. And the fact that the people spoke a different language didn't matter. The fact that those breeds we hadn't worked with, they had some different breeds over there, that didn't matter. And in the middle of Zimbabwe, it was just horsemanship. Once we got them soft in the face and once we got them easy to ride, we would ride them out. They made a makeshift round pen out of sticks. The Bushman made out of sticks, and we started them. Fellas, you got to understand, like Crocodile Dundee, they would go around all of these animals and they would have a straight face, not worried at all. They would get around the horses and they would be shying. Oh, be careful, be careful. We just cold started them, got them working. After one session or two sessions, being a professional cold starter, we'd say, hey, you know, take the sticks away so we can get out. Out. You want to go out. You die. No, it's okay. And we were able to ride out in a big herd amongst 400 or 500 water buffalo, which are known as the Black Death. And Kelsey and I probably had the best behaved horse or some of the better behaved horses on the group. And our colts had somebody on their back for 3 days. Yeah. And they were quieter and listening to us more and doing less than a lot of the horses that were out there with us.
And just the halter, right? Yeah. Just our halter.
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of funny looks.
That was the other thing. Halter. You're going to ride in just halter. Dangerous. Right. No, it's okay, buddy. Believe me, I don't have a death wish. So the big life lesson there is no matter where you go in the world, you may not speak the language of the people, but horsemanship is universal. And if you have good horsemanship and you understand it, you can go anywhere in the world and communicate with those horses.
Yeah, man. Not many people can say that, you know, that they've ridden with, what did you say, 500
Water buffalo.
Water buffalo.
We went past it. There was a herd of elephant on the way to the water buffalo.
Yep.
And during our adventures, we were there training for almost 3 weeks.
Yep.
And we got to ride. The only place we didn't get to ride, usually if there's one or two lions, it's not a big deal. The pride that we walked up on had 21, so we were not allowed to be horseback for that. So didn't get to experience a lion in full experience on horseback while we're there, but we're definitely going to make another trip and get to experience that in the future.
Yeah, that would be an amazing experience. Thanks for sharing that. Kelsey, you make me look bad here. You have a master's in equestrian education. That's awesome. How do you structure clinics to cater to a wide range of learning styles and riding levels?
It's funny when we talk about my education, because I always laugh telling people that want to be horse trainers and want to work with horses. We always get the conversation like, okay, you went to school, you did this and you do that. And then I work with and have now built a business with somebody who didn't go to college. So with my degree and going through with the master's degree in education, it just kind of let me take the bits and pieces of learning for how do we need to structure our programs? How do we need to structure our events where all different levels of riders can come in and feel comfortable, feel confident, understand what we're teaching. And Michael's done an amazing job of really simplifying the horse world. A lot of what you see out there, sometimes we find ourselves people overcomplicate horses because they either don't want you to feel confident in it. They don't want you to feel like you can be a professional or be very understanding of everything that goes into horses. And the way that he teaches, he simplifies it and he breaks it down where anybody can understand it. Any level can understand it. More commonly, husbands. We get a lot of husbands that come in that want nothing to do with horses because they always feel like it's talking above them. They come in and they fully understand everything that's coming out of the redneck's mouth. So being able to make it easy to understand, allow you to get wins and allow our riders to get wins with their horses, it all just comes back around full circle. The education just kind of let me get that exposure in other parts of the world and apply that to what we're doing right now to find success.
Sounds like your separate skill sets complement each other. So that's really good.
There's been a lot of skill sets that have had to be built along the way too, because I was just a trick rider. I just performed and traveled around the country, went to college, did all the things. And then for him to really hone his craft with the problem horses and building from that, once we got together and we saw what our goals were and the things we wanted to do, we really had to work in other parts other than training horses. Like, I feel like training horses has been such a small part of what we actually do, you know, in our whole business. Him, the day to day, he's still on horses, you know, 12 plus hours per day. But, you know, before that, he was trying to make viral videos and figuring out how to market, figuring out how to do social media. And then everything on the back end of that for me, trying to figure out, well, how do we package this in a way that we can not only share it when his butt hits somebody's saddle as he's training a horse, but also how can we reach the masses and help all these people that we can't get in front of every single day? So it's a fun learning experience for sure.
Michael, I was reading that not only do you train horses, but professional boxing, underwater welding, either of those disciplines transfer or help you in horsemanship, maybe the boxing. You know, you're
absolutely. No, the footwork of 7 years of boxing with the type of horses that I deal with is definitely helpful. A lot of people see me do stuff and like, how'd you get that? Like, how'd you get to position? And I'm,
how did you not get bit? How did you not get struck?
Because I'm always pushing the envelope of how close I can be on these horses that nobody wants to get close to. And it freaks the horses out because they're so used to the people running. We just had one come through last week that makes people run. So to be able to stand right there in the pocket by their shoulder when they're kicking, biting, striking, and not be taking a step backwards, that definitely helped out. And all the other things, when you're fifth generation anything, everybody's a horse trainer in your family. So you're, oh, I'm going to do this or do that. And you try all these other businesses and the horses just keep calling you back until you say, yes, I can do this.
Yeah. So the underwater, the diving and welding, that was a Google search of highest paying job, least amount of education.
That's
and
right.
We ended up doing that.
Yes. Yeah. So, I went through after my boxing career, I Googled that. I was kind of like in a stall. Like I had a day where I didn't have direction. It drove me crazy. So I Googled highest paying job, least amount of school. 2 weeks later, I was in the Deep Sea Diving Academy.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. You can make bank on underwater welding for sure. I'm aware of that. Kelsey, I read that your first horse, Lightning, has been with you since you were 11 years old.
Yes, sir.
What has keeping a horse long-term taught you about the aging process and the care of senior horses?
Oh, it's a hard conversation to have because, you know, he's my first horse. My dad did what every good parent should do and went and bought a broodmare and a three-day-old baby. So, you know, I've been with him from the very beginning and I've been there through all of the training process. And now to see him as he's getting older and he's phasing out, he's coming up on 20. So he's kind of phasing out of his performance career. And now he is helping babysit some of our colts. We have a breeding program for our Passos. And whenever we split the mares and the colts off, or the fillies and the colts, he gets to be the babysitter. So he teaches everybody how to have manners, how to get along. And so watching him have purpose through each stage of his life and feeling like he has something, just like people, I feel like horses, even as they get older, they still have to be included in everything that you're doing. I've got a couple of horses that are all getting ready to just hit that 20-year-old mark or a little bit older that are my trick riding horses. And, you know, figuring out what that next phase of life looks for them. Are they going to help with regular riding lessons? Are they going to do the retreats that we do? But they have to feel some kind of value and still be needed within your program. So that's been an interesting transition to watch them go from being a performance athlete and traveling around the country with me, doing 70,000 miles on a trailer in 1 year to have to stay home. It's a hard conversion, but they all still get to feel like they're included and have the attention that they need and get to live out their retirement and hopefully the best place possible for them. So
Lightning the horse.
Yeah.
I was looking at you guys on your website and I mean, wow, you have lots of educational resources. I saw quizzes, clinics, training, academies, even retreats, not to mention the magic halter. So on the business side, can you elaborate on each of those and the retreat especially? That caught my eye.
So the retreat is very cool. People from around the world come and spend a week with us. And it's an all-inclusive retreat. So it's like going on a cruise and never leaving dry land. It is Disney World for horse people. Right. So people come in, we have a Western hotel, we have cowboy quarters, we have cabins in the woods, and we have a full-time active training facility. So people will come in and we will work on horsemanship. In the morning, we'll have an activity. In the afternoon, we'll have an activity, and we'll do that for 5 days straight. My mother is a great cook, and she cooks all of the meals.
All-inclusive food, all-inclusive alcohol.
All you can eat, all you can drink. Some people I break even just on the all-you-can-drink part.
Right.
We try to show you the cause and effect, what makes things work and not work. And then we try to add a lot of games. There's nothing that makes me happier than to get an adult to feel like a child. So if I can show them just enough where they really understand what makes them confident and how to control the horse and be safe, and then immediately transition into soccer games where we have these big soccer balls, everybody's on their horse, and we'll have 4 versus 4, and we'll have a soccer tournament, or we'll have pool noodle fights. You'll have sweet little Becky Sue, and you'll hand her a pool noodle on her horse, and she'll say, "What do I do with this?" I say, "Go smack somebody in the head." She'll say, "Okay." Next thing, 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later, she'll be running across there smacking people. And next thing you know, the horse steers. So many folks with lack of confidence, they're always looking at the horse and they can't steer the horse from one side of the field to the other. But if you put a soccer ball in front of them, if you put a pool noodle and tell them to go smack somebody, if you put cows in front of them, we do cattle sorting, or we do crazy obstacles where they have to climb stairs and come down ramps and go through the tunnel of death. Next thing you know, going down the trail is easy. Right. Instead of the trail being the big, bad boogeyman, the trail is the easiest part of the week. And since we push their comfort zones in and they understand cause and effect, what makes you in control and what makes you lose control, very quickly, they become so confident so quickly. And to see that transition from Tuesday morning through Saturday evening, a lot of folks, they're intimidated walking their horse and the horse is stepping on them and pushing them around, just walking from the trailer to the barn. So to see them play soccer and just run into a herd of other horses and riders, to see them go through obstacles and climb stairs and go through the tunnel of doom, it's really cool to see that process and that change. And you remember, why we do this. You know, we do this to have a fun time. And right. sometimes along the way, we lose track of that. And we're like dreading going to do our hobby. Like, oh, I have to go ride this horse. What do you mean you have to? You're retired. This is your fun thing. This is like your exciting thing to do. We don't want you to dread it. We want you to have an absolute blast. And that's just what we do.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. All right, wrapping up. Lastly, as a couple, you guys, you share a life, share business. Any wisdom you'd offer to other couples who work together in such a demanding industry?
You want to answer it or me? I'm going to give the girl answer first. A big thing that's been a huge push in our life together is being really clear on what the goal is. Where are we wanting to go? What are we wanting to do? And how are we wanting to get there? And understanding that if you have really big goals, there's going to be some sacrifice that you're going to have to make, whether that's, you know, time together, time with family, time doing some of your other hobbies that you may have, what's going to pull from that and how do you coordinate with that? And then for us, just making sure that we're always on the same page with everything. Like, we know that we want to do these things. We know it's going to take that time, effort, energy, finances to make it happen. Are we both on the same page and we're ready to push forward to make that happen?
Yeah. And I can answer for Michael. He says, yes, dear. Yes, honey. Okay. You are right. And everything goes well.
I was going to say, it's very important in a healthy relationship for the man to always have the last word. And yes, honey, yes, dear, is always the last word. So we are very happy. Happy wife, happy life.
That's right. If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy.
I'm getting under the table. That's fine.
Yeah, guys, Michael, Kelsey, I've had so much fun. It's been a pleasure chatting with you guys. So for our listeners, learn more. We'll put the web links and such down in the text, but learn more by visiting their website at GascanHorsemanship.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you, bud.
All right. Bye, guys. See you later.
Yeah, thank you.